Hardin Hammers.
The Beard Tomahawk left.
And Springer Dingers.
George Springer goes yard.
Your home for the Rockets and Astros. Sports Talk 790.
All right, it is one of our favorite parts of the week. 10, maybe 11 quality minutes. Joe Klatt, Fox Sports, college football. Joe, you were in Big Ten country last week. It was the first game for everybody in that league. What did you think, what you saw in the game you witnessed personally, and what you thought of the league overall?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that Ohio State looked, you know, as good as I thought that they would look. They're having to replace a lot of guys on the defensive side. Early in the game, I was expecting a little bit of rust. I was expecting, you know, them to not look, you know, great, and that's clearly what happened. But they settled in, made some quality adjustments, and ended up playing really well the rest of the game. And then from their offense, I really thought that we were going to see a better passing attack than we had last year from Ohio State, and that did come to fruition because they're talented on the outside. Young, albeit, but incredibly talented, and then Justin Fields played such a good game. I mean, he was efficient. He was safe with the football, used his legs when he had to, and I thought he was excellent. And then around the league, the other thing that stood out to me is that Penn State clearly is going to struggle without some of their players, like Journey Brown and Micah Parsons. They lose another running back today to injury. And Michigan looked really good. Michigan kind of combined the best parts of what Harbaugh's offense used to be and then what Josh Gattis brings now as the kind of spread offensive coordinator, in which they've got the spread principles. They can get out there in space and speed and attack you. And yet, Matt, they still got big, moved to former defensive, he was a fullback, then a defensive tackle, now he's back to fullback. His name's Ben Mason. They moved him back to the offensive side. They got big, and they started running some of those power gap scheme things that Harbaugh has been good at for years. That popped some big runs. So now all of a sudden you can get big. You got a good quarterback. They defensively rushed the passer well. So I was really impressed with Michigan after last week.
We found out the Nebraska-Wisconsin game has been just flat-out canceled. In your talks with Big Ten people, they're not necessarily worried about who wins the league this year. They're just worried about getting as many teams as possible into the college playoff, correct?
Well, you know, they're behind the eight ball without the off week. And I told you, and I've told, I think I've said this on almost every interview I've done over the last couple of weeks, there's going to be cancellations, just period. And I don't think that it's a sky is falling scenario, but it's certainly not good. And the problem is that the Big Ten did this to themselves. They did this to themselves because they punted on the season originally, and then now they had to go back. And in order to get back on the field, I feel like from an optics standpoint, they thought that they had to go above and beyond what the protocols were in other leagues that stayed the course and played basically or relatively on schedule. And so what they did is they threw out this 21-day period in which a player has to sit out, which is arbitrary and nonsense, to be honest with you, in particular if you've spent any time around some of the medical professionals that are around these leagues and these programs, which I have, by the way. And they've said that that is an arbitrary number that really doesn't mean anything, but they did it from an optic standpoint. Well, in order to curry favor with that sector of people that thought that they needed to do that in order to have football, now the season's in jeopardy already for Wisconsin. It's an eight-game season with no off weeks, and they lose this one against Nebraska. I highly doubt they play Purdue next week, and Michigan is the week after that. So depending on how many of their players actually test positive versus have to get contact trace, they might be decimated to the point where they can't play any of those games, and then we're sitting here in the middle of the Big Ten season, and Wisconsin's 1-0. Like, what are we doing?
It sounds patently absurd, is what you just described to the audience. So, but man, what you just said is going to happen. There's going to be somebody in that league that plays less than three league games. And how do you even look at this season as being all that serious that that's going to potentially happen?
Well, I mean, I don't even know how you would crown a division champion.
That's
right?
Why, like, I said I don't think you even worry about it. I think you worry about just playing the games and hope that one or two of your teams gets into the college football playoff. Other than that, this was a waste of time.
I mean, you know, if Wisconsin is 5-0, do they win the division and go play Ohio State, who's 8-0? And then, who knows? I don't have that answer. I think this is where kind of the dark, I don't know if it's dark, but the dirty little secret is that this league is playing in large part because their best team and most influential administration pushed the hardest for that to happen. And the reason that that administration pushed as hard as they did is because they have a national championship caliber team. Mm-hmm. You can make an argument, although I don't like to do this often, but I will in Houston. You can make an argument the only reason we're seeing Big Ten football is because Ohio State has the potential to go to the playoff and win the national championship. And the fact that they pushed for that meant that the Pac-12 was boxed into a corner and basically like, well, we can't be the only league that doesn't play football. So they came back as well. But that's kind of the subtext of what's going on right now. But like I've said, and we've mentioned, it is a mess up there. And that's, by the way, right where the virus is kind of sitting in our country. And those of you in Houston know, and in the South, and I'm on the West Coast, we know what it's like to live through kind of one of those waves. And that's what's happening right now in places like Wisconsin and Nebraska and Utah. And so it's going to be very difficult to play football. And to be honest with you, I think football should be secondary to make sure that we're doing the right thing so that we can get past this as a nation.
Yep. So if areas of the country are handling it well, keep going. If not, you know what? Shutting it down wouldn't be the worst thing. Let's get to some games of regional interest here. Sam Pittman, tell me about him and why people in Arkansas are so happy that they're 2-2 and that they may pose a little bit of a threat to A&M this weekend in College Station.
I think it's because there was zero expectation around Arkansas. Wouldn't you agree? Like, people, they hadn't won an SEC game. I don't know the exact number. Maybe you know. Was it 20 games? Was it 19?
Well, they just couldn't get rid of Chad Morris fast enough. They just couldn't.
Sure. And so they're excited, one, because of that, and two, like, they're seeing some success on the field. I think it's very similar to how Rutgers fans feel, right? And I know Greg Schiano is a little different than Pittman because everyone knows Schiano, and Pittman is a bit of an unknown. But these fan bases are like, man, this is light years better than what we expected, what we thought was going to happen. And he's certainly done a nice job at Arkansas. And by the way, I think back to week one. And remember that the narrative after week one when they played Georgia tough and everyone's like, well, maybe Georgia's not very good. And it's like, actually, Arkansas was way better than what we expected and should have expected. So I'm happy for them, man. I think that anytime guys have success and they can help build a program and kids invest and commit to being better and then are, it always makes me happy. And it's one of the reasons why I love college football.
And that's the reason why you're on the number one team with Gus Johnson. You'll be on the Michigan-Michigan State game this week. Another Fox game is the Longhorns at Oklahoma State. Do you give Texas much of a chance in that game?
Yeah, no, I do. I think that they're certainly talented enough. You know, it's not like Oklahoma State is just going to roll out there. They're not going to roll the helmets out there and beat Texas. Now, they're a good team, and defensively, they're very strong. Now, one thing to pay attention to is that Oklahoma State, yes, they're strong defensively, giving up only 12 points per game. They have not faced a team that's in the top 40 scoring offenses in the country. They're going to face that this week with Texas. Texas, I believe, is sixth in the country, scoring 45 points per game. Like, this is the best team that Oklahoma State has faced, even better than, I think, Iowa State from a talent perspective, and maybe even from an overall perspective, in particular with Sam Ellinger. But this is going to be a tough game for them. And this is the gauntlet for Oklahoma State. They've got this game. They've got Kansas State coming up. They've got Oklahoma coming up. So we're going to know everything that we need to know about Oklahoma State here in the next few weeks. But rest assured, and I'm convinced about this, Matt, like, if they go undefeated, they'll go to the playoff. The committee's not going to sit a Power 5 undefeated champion home. They aren't going to do that. So I'm going to bring this back to your area. If I'm an Aggie fan, mm-hmm. I'm rooting against Oklahoma State. I am rooting against Oklahoma State. And I don't mean to, I just want to bring this up because I've been an Aggie, you know, antagonist. I really like Texas A&M right now and their position that they're in. Did you know, and I'm sure you do, Jimbo Fisher is 20-10 so far in his tenure as the head coach of the Aggies. People will be like, well, we paid $75 million for better than that. Yes, that's true. But did you know that 8 of those 10 losses are against top 10 opponents? Last year alone, they faced 3 teams during the season that were number one in the country at the time of the game. Clemson early, Alabama in the middle, and then LSU late. That gauntlet was incredible. Now here's a coach that is 18-2 against teams that are not in the top 10 in the country, and the rest of his schedule, you're sitting there looking at it, none of those teams are ranked. Now, maybe nope. some of those teams are going to get into the top 25, but they're not top 10 teams. So I think A&M has a real shot. Maybe not at the playoff. I'm not sure how the community is going to view them, but they've got a shot to be a one-loss team. And maybe they're not going to win the division, probably not with Alabama sitting in that division. But what a difference a year makes in terms of the strength of schedule that they played a year ago and now the strength of schedule that they're playing this year and the opportunity, at least, to maybe be just a one-loss team at the end of the year.
And the only tricky game I'm looking at their schedule right now, Joel, is a trip to Auburn. Other than that, nobody's fearing playing Tennessee anymore in Knoxville.
No, and nor should they. That Tennessee team was a total farce and an aberration. You know, it was like eight-game win streak. That's not a very good team, and they've been proven as such over the last couple of weeks. So I agree with you completely. I think that the only tough game is Auburn, and I think the other ones, they should win pretty easily. I mean, I know that sounds crazy with LSU on the schedule, right? But LSU doesn't scare me this year.
Well, I would think, if anything, if LSU can win at Auburn, that probably gets them feeling a lot better about themselves. I know they were very disappointed in how things turned out at Missouri and whatnot, but that would be the only team that can maybe get better as the season moves along. But other than that, there's nobody on that schedule that A&M should be not at least a nice favorite against. And frankly, this would be the year that, you know, I think Jimbo had basically said, give me some time, let me have two or three recruiting classes, and I'll get you to the 10 wins you need, which would be enough to, you know, ultimately maybe make that playoff.
Yeah. So, you know, if I'm an Aggie fan, I'm certainly encouraged. And on the flip side, I think that obviously Red River was a must win for Tom Herman and Texas. And I think this game against Oklahoma State might be the same. You know, I have heard from really reliable sources that the money is there in Austin. And so let's just put it down on the table. It has to turn around, period. And I don't think a loss this week would be survivable.
I want to tell you one thing. I'm going to get Ross into conversations. We were talking about Urban Meyer, your colleague at Fox. He compared him to, and Ross, jump in on this, you compared him to Scarlett Johansson. Urban Meyer and Scarlett Johansson. Please explain to Joel how that got.
I fail to see the comparison, but maybe that's just because.
Just listen to this.
Urban doesn't have blonde hair.
That's true.
Extremely hot, attractive, exactly what you would want, but can be a little flighty. A lot of divorces, seems to get latched on pretty quickly, and it's intense and it's good and it's fun, but then it's over too soon.
What do you think?
Is it worth it if it happens once? Probably.
That's what I said. That's exactly what I told him.
That's right.
I would say yes to Scarlett Johansson right now.
Just saying. Just throwing it out there. That's all I'm saying. We'll leave it.
I'm just saying that.
Does it work, though, Joel? Does it work?
Me about like contracts, right? Like big contracts in pro sports. And they're like, oh, is this a good contract? Is this a bad contract? Listen, if you win one championship, those contracts are worth it.
Have a great trip to Ann Arbor. Tell Coach Harbaugh we sent our best.
All right. See you guys.
Thank you. Joel Klatt, Fox Sports, with us here.